This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Strap yourselves in for 2 weeks' worth of crap, crap, giggle, giggle. This is episode 455 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And that there on the other end of Skype is Mr. Glyn Lavender from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au.
Hello, nice to be here.
He's gone all serious on me. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Excellent. How has your two weeks been?
And yourself?
Stressful.
Really? How come?
No, in all seriousness, you know I've started this new job.
You started a new job recently?
Yes. And I've taken over the running of one of the two studios in this recording studio complex from the guy who started the business 40 years ago, who's now retired, who still owns the business but now doesn't work in the business. So there's myself and Brad, who's the other engineer, who's been there for like 20 years. And on
It must be a good working environment if they've had employees stay that long.
Absolutely. It is great. You know, I'm enjoying it. Tuesday morning at like 1:30 in the morning, Brad had to be carted off to hospital having some kind of a seizure. And we just got word today that he will not be returning for the remainder of this year.
My goodness.
Yeah, so it's rather serious. And and we've got so much work on that Terry, the guy who started the business, who had retired, has now had to come back to work. He got a whole 2 weeks of retirement.
Oh, man. What circumstances to have to come back to?
Yeah, exactly. So, it's been, you know, stressful for me because, you know, for Tuesday and Wednesday, I was there on my own. And I, you know, I'm so new in the gig that I don't feel like I really know everything that I need to know yet.
Of course.
I'm still learning stuff.
Still on probation.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, obviously, you know, we're all concerned for Brad's welfare. It's kind of been one of those weeks. So, anyway.
One of those reasons to have income protection insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those sort of circumstances where, yeah, it's a, yeah, all of a sudden the forced 8 or 10 week layoff or whatever, and that can be, the stress of not having income could be something that's not going to help your health either.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you haven't got income insurance, people get income insurance.
Hmm. I used to have it.
Yeah, but and it's hard as a sole employee.
Yeah,
they're hard ones too because you don't have a regular income.
Well. I only got rid of mine about 12 months ago, and the reason I got rid of it was because I got retrenched from a position I'd been in for 10 years and then said, okay, what are you going to do to assist me now that, you know, my income has been stripped away? And they went,
Oh, nothing.
Oh, no, you got a payout.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, why do I have this insurance?
Because it's in case you get sick, not in case you get sacked.
What a crock.
Sick, sack. It's a one letter difference, but it's a big difference to them.
Yeah. So they were taking $400 a month to give me nothing back. So I went, screw that.
Yeah, that's fair. For $400 a month, my goodness.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey. My goodness. Anyway. We wish well to Brad.
We do.
Let's name this the Get Well Brad episode.
Okay.
Because I'm sure he'd be listening, of course, being a co-worker and fond and keen to want to know what you're involved in.
Yeah, exactly. One thing I didn't put in our list of things, which I did want to mention, and now that you've said that we wish Brad well, it reminded me, and I don't suppose she's listening, but congratulations to Sue Bryce, who got married this week.
We care why.
Oh, she's a photographer.
I'm sure lots of photographers got married this week, but you haven't mentioned any of them.
Maybe I don't know them.
I saw two young teens get jailed for murdering a photographer in the newspaper today. He's saying, oh my goodness, poor lady, you got killed.
Well, I didn't know of that story either.
Just because you wanted a brown nose up to Sue Bryce.
No.
Okay, let's put that. Let's put that in the other file of who really cares.
Fair enough. Okay.
We're far more concerned about Brad.
Yes.
Than we are concerned about Sue Bryce getting married.
Okay.
Because let's face it, man, that's something you do 5 or 6 times in your life. And Brad, you know, hopefully it's the only time he's going to have this sort of issue.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So how's your 2 weeks been?
Oh, I ran into a burning building.
Okay.
Well, into it.
Ran into it on foot or ran into it with a vehicle?
No, I ran out on foot to try and save people's lives.
Wow.
There was a out trick-or-treating, and I saw this smoke start coming from the next street over, and it was the bad colour smoke, you know?
Yeah,
it was
right.
Not the grass, it was the grass fire-coloured smoke. It was the dark black, something seriously burning.
Yeah,
so
right.
I spun around the corner, pulled the car off the side of the road, and seen there's a house. Well, there's a house, and next to the house is a carport with a car in it and a fence behind the car on fire. And then the fence fell onto the car, so the car started on fire.
Yikes.
And I'm assuming, well, there's a car in the carport, therefore there's probably someone in the house.
Yeah, right.
So as I'm running up to the house to try and see, the car starts to bang and explode and
wow,
and do stuff. So I'm banging on the door and getting no answer. And then, yeah, the carport collapses under fire. This is all 10 feet from where I'm standing.
Jeez.
Banging on the door. Is anyone home? And at this stage, I'm trying to make the choice. Do I break the door down and go in?
Yeah.
But decided against it. And me and this other guy who was there as well, we then started trying to get the neighbours out on either side. And no one, so we're out trick-or-treating. So no one would come to the door because they thought it was annoying trick-or-treaters.
Oh, of course.
So, yeah, we're, yeah. And so I managed to get the people out next door. The house that was furthest away from the fire.
Yeah.
Then I said to them, yeah, hey, you might want to get your cars out. You know, I reckon you've got time. Get your cars and get them out of there because, yeah.
Yeah.
You never know.
It could spread. Happen. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty easy. If you lose your house, you don't have to lose your cars as well.
Yeah.
And so they did that. And then they ran back into the house again. I'm going, oh, God, this is not a good move. And they ran out with all these boxes and took it to the corner. I went down. The lady at the house was really upset. She was, you know, quite hysterical, so I'm sort of got my arms around, I don't know where her husband was, I got my arms around her, elderly lady,
yeah.
And she goes, all my photos, all my photos.
Yeah.
And I said, totally get it. Yeah, so I'm a photographer, I know how important these are for you. You've got them, it's okay, I think your house is going to be safe, don't stress, but you know, you've got the most important things there. But yeah, once again, it shows you're prepared to run into a burning, potential burning house to save. Yeah, your photos, just how important these things are to us, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess that's one advantage we have now with the cloud, you know? If you are savvy enough to have stuff stored elsewhere as well, outside of the physical prints, there's some salvageability there.
Exactly.
So, anyway, so the whole house burnt down. Unfortunately, there was no one in it, which is fabulous.
Sorry, the whole house burnt down?
Yeah, the whole house, yeah. Well, after the car took on fire, then the wall took on fire, and then the house burnt down as well. So there was fortunately no one in it.
Wow.
And the police think the fire was deliberately lit, so I'm hoping it wasn't like trick-or-treaters.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was like a garbage bin or something set on fire next to the wooden fence, and the wooden fence caught on fire. And
and
the guy who owned the house was at a Shawn Mendes concert, and the police got his number and they called him and told him whilst he was at the concert.
Yeah,
and he goes, well, what do I do? And they said, well, yeah, you may as well stay and watch the concert because
you're not going to save your house.
Nothing's going to change coming home now, dude. It's not going to change the fact of the situation that it's in.
Yeah.
You may as well enjoy your concert for the rest of the concert, yeah.
Wow.
That was my Halloween. A bit more trick than trick. It was pretty full on. It was a little scary with the explosions and stuff.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, and what you gotta do.
Were the girls with you?
They were, but I'd pulled off to a safe part.
Yeah.
I was across the road and 4 houses down and parked on the corner on some grass. So I figured I was within reasonable distance. I'm about to stay in the car. There was people standing out in the street by this stage.
Yeah.
Look at this. I mean, people are, the first fire engine finally arrives, and then this woman pulls in behind it in a car.
Oh.
And I'm saying, what are you doing? Get the hell out of here. She goes, I just want to go around and get my husband. I dropped him down the street a couple of minutes ago. I'm saying, get out of here. There's more fire engines coming. There's a fire here and a car that could explode any second. Get out. She goes, well, there's no need to be rude.
Well, there's no need to be an idiot.
There's no need for you to be so stupid to have driven in here in the first place. Get the hell out. And then I'm trying to clear the bloody roads from all these cars that keep stopping.
Yeah.
Because you know, it was a tier, so it's stopping to try and film down the road to where the. And there's more fire brigades coming, you know? So I'm trying to So I'm trying to keep the roads clear. And once the third or fourth fire engine showed up, I got the girls and got out of there. Didn't need any more people in the way. And
yeah,
but I took a couple of photos at the beginning part of the fire because I figured that's probably important.
Right.
Yeah. When the fence that's on fire and the car that's on fire.
Yeah.
So the fire people could see what the start point was like.
Yeah.
So I took I sent them over to the fire brigade and they said thanks. They were really helpful and helped their investigation. So
yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was an eventful little experience, you know. And, of course, I didn't have the Sony with the new Tamron on, so I couldn't be shooting some interesting fire footage, firemen at work kind of thing, you know.
Which would have been awesome.
Which could have been kind of, an interesting shot, but, of course, didn't have the camera with me. And plus, I wasn't photographer anyway. But so the rest of my 2 weeks have been helping get the video that we had filmed finalised.
Yep.
And trying to shoot some more bloody photos, but we've had the craziest weather. Matt, I'll say how unseasoned, it was like ridiculously cold two weeks ago, shooting at effectively -3.
And then within 2 days, you were touching 40 degrees.
Yes, it's just ridiculous. I mean, like 9 o'clock at night, it's still 90 degrees or 134 degrees. Crazy weather for the middle of spring or early spring.
Yeah.
And now they're forecasting snow down to 700 metres on Friday.
Jeez.
I mean, and how do you go out and shoot? We had winds. I was out trying to shoot yesterday, and I'm up in this hillside, this open expanse grassy hillside, and really nice blue sky with some lovely clouds, this massively long grass, and the wind was blowing so hard it was like the waves going through the grass.
Yeah.
And there's these two llamas, big, massive, furry llamas standing next to this fence, I thought that's a cool-looking shot, so I pulled over. And, of course, as soon as I got to the fence, the freaking llamas
ran away.
Yeah. but they're standing too far away to shoot. They're standing there watching, and they're almost blowing over.
Yeah.
Right. You can see their fur is bending and their whole bodies are kind of leaning into the wind. It was the craziest weather. The wind was just so damn strong. And it's like, this is madness. So, of course, and then it was on Tuesday night, driving home. It was Melbourne Cup day off on Tuesday. We and me, the kids have been out at a friend's place for what was supposed to be a 20-hour brisket, barbecue brisket.
Oh, okay.
At the 10-hour mark, it completely got destroyed. It's died. There was $50 of meat down the toilet. Oh. So after we had the pizza, we were driving home, and it was one of those nights. It had these really bizarre-looking clouds in the sky. There were check patterns. They were crossed across.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I saw that. Yep. Yeah.
How weird are they? And they had all these other ones that looked like painter's brush strokes.
Right.
As well. And the sun was going down. And I'm thinking, there could be an epic sunset happening here. And there's that gap between the lower clouds and the horizon. I thought, epic. So I said to the kids, you're going to have a bit of a later night than expected, kids. whipped home, got the camera, zipped out for like an hour we drove. And the closer we got to sunset, the less and less clouds there were in the sky. And it got to the point where just as sunset came in, there was one tiny band of nothing. And everything else was just blue. And this, kids, is why you don't do landscape photography. And I gave up on the sunset. And so it's been a frustrating couple of weeks of shooting for no benefit.
Basically. Yeah, right.
But I did have a good experience with the video. Not necessarily the video so being any good, but the guy who shoots my videos using this new program, this new web browser. I don't know what it is. It's a website, anyway, called Frame.io.
Okay.
And basically he loads the video up onto this website and I go in and I watch it. And every time I hit pause, there's a little comment box and you can type in whatever you want.
Right.
Can you put this image there? Is that image? Can you change this around? Can you make that light? Whatever. All the way through the video. And he, on the other hand, on his bigger screen, he gets all the timelines of the video and all the little clips and everything else. And he can click on the comment. It'll go straight to that moment on the video.
Oh, nice.
So he's ready to edit to that precise moment, my choice. Just an epic way of coordinating.
Collaborating.
With people. Yeah, and without having to be in the same room.
Nice.
So if anyone's out there does some video stuff and does it with clients and hasn't seen it, I would recommend have a bit of a look. Because for a lay person, a lay video person that I am, I was suitably impressed. So,
yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah. So that's it. It's the rest of the 2 weeks have been. I think I've changed my mind on the June 30 cutout date.
Okay.
March 31.
I was going to say, you're bringing it forward.
I'm bringing it forward. Maybe you want to start thinking about another podcast host, dude, next year.
Right. Okay.
Not looking good. Not looking good past the first quarter.
Right.
Fine.
Okay.
And if you know of anyone that's got jobs, yeah, that pay a lot, but only have to work like 10 till 2.
Right.
3 days a week. Doesn't require any thinking or any effort.
Excellent.
And allows naps.
Right.
If anyone knows of such a job. No.
Yeah.
I was thinking security guard would be good. Nighttime security guard, because when they're not watching, you can have a nap.
Yeah. That's right.
I did that as a temp job. I did that as a temp job in England back in the 90s.
Right.
I had to watch this old World War II Air Force base, air base.
Okay.
You know, it was a 7 till 7 shift overnight.
Right.
You know? So you'd get there at 7, you'd do your little walk around, sit down, watch some TV.
Yeah.
At 11 o'clock, you go do another walk around, come back, put your cap down, go to sleep for 4 hours. Wake up at 3, do a walk around, come back, have a nap till 7, go home. It was a pretty great night.
What? Yeah?
Great sleeping and great pay.
Yeah,
I don't think you're supposed to be asleep.
Right.
I don't think that was part of the job description, but I found it quite helpful.
Right.
Yeah, it's got me through the night. You know? And I was doing that job. I was listening to the radio. I was watching TV the night Lady Di died.
Oh, wow.
So I was one of the first to hit, because it happened in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, broadcast straight away onto TVs, as it does, or radio, whatever I was listening to. As in, yeah, we interrupt this broadcast. So it was like, oh, wow, shit, this is shit's getting real sort of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I went to Lady Di's funeral, because after that, I thought, you know,
yeah,
hop down to London with the other million people and stand in the streets and watch it.
Yeah, know? Right.
A history.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, it's not waffling.
Yeah.
So March 31. If anyone's got any jobs, let me know.
Yeah. Right.
How's February looking? No. So what have you got on your plate this week? Anything exciting? Is it all just like the normal boring stuff we talk about?
Yeah, it's pretty much all the usual stuff.
We're nothing if not consistent.
That's correct. I haven't had an opportunity to have the camera out in the last 2 weeks, so...
funny, if I haven't had my camera out for the last 2 weeks either.
Right.
It isn't a damn Sony. Well, these Sonys are a nightmare. I'm just doing my head in. Damn things won't focus. They're so bloody slow. They shoot when they're not in focus. They beep. Beep, I'm in focus. No, you're not. I can see you're not in focus. You know? You know how they're supposed to do you're supposed to, when you change exposure, you're supposed to see the exposure change in the viewfinder?
Yeah.
Doesn't. And you check everything out and all the specs and all the things that should be on are on, and it doesn't do it. You know, it does not change exposure one dot in the viewfinder. Yeah, it's just like, it won't focus on anything I want it to focus on.
Right.
And for some reason, the focus point's always up the top left-hand corner. Keep bringing it back to the middle, look again, oh, it's top left-hand corner. Damn, these things are a nightmare. Unless you're listening, Mr. Sony, then I'm enjoying it very much, and I would like to keep it. Anyway, I'm sure it's a fair amount of its user error.
Yeah,
it's been so ingrained in doing things a certain way.
Yeah,
it's just,
and that's fair enough.
Even my video guy, who's shooting the team who's shooting me, they shoot on Sony video cameras,
right?
As well as other cameras, but Sony, they couldn't. Get it, so I couldn't understand why the exposure thing wasn't working.
Wow.
Yeah, they're looking and just like, it was just crazy. Anyway,
that's bizarre.
Let's talk about some stuff. What have you got? Privacy breach. I see you're talking about a privacy breach.
From Adobe, of all people.
They never do that, do they?
Never. This happened the week before last. And Adobe exposed 7 million plus Creative Cloud accounts to the public.
How does that happen? Is it safe?
Well, just it was.
There was some guy with all that information on his laptop, like working at a cafe. He left the laptop.
Who
is that
knows?
The public? Or is it like
who
a white? God. So what are you supposed to do then? Go and change your password?
Yeah, who knows?
And they've got all your
credit cards. Well, the thing is that the hack exposed email addresses, account creation date, the products you're using, your subscription status, whether the user is an Adobe employee or not, member IDs, country, time of last login, and payment status.
So nothing.
Pretty much everything.
Nothing. You're saying everything. I'm saying nothing. Well, they haven't got my credit card details. They haven't got my payment information.
Well, they know your payment status, like whether you're up to date or...
But that they can't do anything with that.
No, that's true.
Yeah, there's nothing there. Wow, they know my Adobe ID, but they don't know the password to get in.
Yeah.
So, they can't get in, log in and change my... they haven't got any actual... they know I'm an Adobe user. Well, I'm a photographer.
Yeah. Surprise.
You know what? Percentage-wise, probably... I would be concerned if it was, they've got passwords and credit card information. That would be a concern.
Yeah. But happened in 2013.
Yeah. Yeah. And once again, I haven't changed anything since 2013. Nothing happened to me. And, I don't know. Anyway.
The next thing that I came across was from Will Shipton's Inside Imaging newsletter. And this was all about the...
I know his dad.
Do you?
Well, yeah.
That's good. Peace. Yeah. So this was a bit called the Canon 1DX Mark III, too late to the party, ? And I pulled out one particular quote here. The EOS 1DX III could be the best DSLR Canon has made. I honestly wouldn't have a clue. But the features and benefits of one exceptional DSLR won't make much difference to the company's financial fortunes at a time when the market is clearly shifting to mirrorless cameras. Which I thought was interesting.
But two things.
Okay.
Technology comes from the top down.
In what sense? Always.
As in... They invent the most expensive, the biggest, the best at the top end of the market. And the lessons they learn building that filters down to the lower models, mirrorless or non-mirrorless.
Yep.
So, A, it doesn't hurt that they're developing this mega awesome camera because the things they learn in designing that filter down to all the other models anyway at some point.
Right.
Okay. So, and they're catering to a still substantial part of the market who will buy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
There'll be hundreds of these things at the Olympics next year.
Oh, without a doubt.
Hundreds and hundreds of them being used in the Olympics. So, I mean, there's still a market for it. So that's kind of irrelevant to the party too late. And, it's not going to change their fortunes. No, it won't. But what if they develop something whilst doing that which can put into an EOS R or whatever it is and make that revolutionary? Or add something special to that no one else is doing. Now, that could change their focus and their fortunes. But they're all struggling. I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
They're all. I mean, Sony as well. I mean, Sony's not making any money on the camera gear.
Probably not.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be so big. If anyone out there feels comfortable with their brand, they're delusional. Because not one of them has a chance of long term survival. They're all something's going to happen to all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah, and this market's really going to go in for a big change in the next 5 years where you won't have eight different, 10 different. How many A7s does Sony have? 42 of them or something?
I don't know.
What crazy kind of no wonder they're not making any money. They've got too many models. People get confused.
Right.
How many Fuji cameras do the models do? There's just too many models. Give people back in the old days, you had like four choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? You put all your eggs into four baskets. It's a lot better than putting into 20 baskets.
Yeah. True.
So there's going to be a hell of a lot less cameras to choose from in 5 years' time. Yeah.
Interesting.
But they'll all be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the benefit is they're all going to be really the best cameras I've ever been able to buy.
That's right.
Our choices are going to be significantly limited.
Yeah.
Because they can't afford to make and market And remember also that there's different economies.
Sure.
Not everyone can afford an EOS R. Maybe India. You go to a place like India and see what they all shoot with. They all shoot with the lowest entry level Canon Nikon cameras. They're not buying the expensive stuff. They're shooting with the entry level. The entry level is not everyone, but a lot of them.
Yeah.
And taking fabulous photos.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that market there won't stand for EOS One DX Mark IIIs for the entire public. But then, yeah, my mate in Bangladesh shoots, so he walks around with two of them.
Right.
Bangladeshi photography, you know, and all his mates, that's all they shoot with the EOS One DXs.
Right.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And did they buy them new or secondhand?
Yeah, brand new, yeah.
Yeah, right.
They got all the best lenses, they got more shitload more money than I have. Yeah, they're all out there. Yeah, you've never seen 71 DXs in my life, and then yeah, these guys have.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, horses for courses.
Yeah. The next one I found was another one on Inside Imaging, and this was Bride Disappointed by Excessive Photoshopping. Now, I had a read of this story, and I can understand the situation for the bride where, you know, the processed images come back from the wedding photographer and she's been photoshopped to ridiculous levels. But I have two issues with this story that just sort of immediately sprung to mind. Is one, who books a wedding photographer without understanding what type of product you're going to get back? So that was one issue. And the other thing was that when she complained to the photographer about the quality of the post-processing and could they have the images untouched, this guy tried to claim that he had deleted the RAW files. Now, who deletes their RAW files?
This is how bad they are.
Yeah, so, I mean, whether or not she had asked for the RAW files and he was saying, oh, I've deleted them because he didn't want to hand them over, I don't know. That's a possible, you know, ploy. A lot of photographers don't want to hand over the RAW files themselves, and I understand why. But, yeah, I was baffled by the idea that you would employ a wedding photographer and not at least be a little bit cognizant of the level of post-processing that that photographer does to their work.
Look at the level of, if you're not looking at the work, and I always say, if you're looking for a wedding photographer, you've got to see multiple weddings that they've shot.
Yes.
Yeah, end results of multiple weddings and get a feel for, is there any consistency?
Yep.
Yeah, both in shooting style and editing style. If there's no consistency and everything's all over the shop, well, you know, run.
Yeah,
frankly, yeah, you want to see some level, because if you see a level of consistency over multiple events, you know there's a reasonable chance that they'll be able to pull that off for you.
Exactly.
But if everything they show you is different and different styles and different feels, then yeah,
that's a worry.
Yeah.
The next thing, I got an email from Carl who said, hi guys, I'm not a working professional photographer. I don't own a Narbox, but in case you're interested, I'm still attached to Adobe, so I use their products the best I can. Re-getting the photos to the bride on the same night at the reception, etc. I use this workflow at the kids' basketball matches. During the halftime break, I take the SD card and import the photos using an adapter to Lightroom Mobile on my iPhone or iPad and do a quick edit of the good ones. I then select my most liked photos and make a collection in Lightroom Mobile. I might call that collection Best Picks of Today's Match. I can then tell Lightroom Mobile to send that collection of images to a temporary Adobe website, which anyone or not can see. And all I have to do is send the parents the link for them to like, comment, download, or whatever. Sorted. Keep the pods coming. Regards, Carl Hemmings. So I thought, yep, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of ways of doing stuff. I mean, but as you can see, that works only in certain circumstances.
Sure.
First up, volume of shots.
Yep.
I mean, your iPad. Let's just spend. You're buying an iPad Pro with 256 gig internal. Yep. Even that's not huge. Yeah, you've got issues. I mean, shooting with this damn Sony thing, with this lovely Sony A7R3, I mean, your RAW files are...
About 42 megs each?
Yeah, 45, 48 megabytes, something like that, and then 21 or something for the JPEG.
Yep.
So you're looking at 80 megabytes of photo.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, once again, if you are shooting a sporting event as a a higher end photographer, a pro,
yep.
you're shooting a lot of photos, mm-hmm. and that iPad's going to fill damn quickly.
Yep.
Which of course means everything's going to slow down like the bejesus. Now, Carl, absolutely, he's doing local sport, probably shooting a couple of hundred images. I'm thinking, mm-hmm. And so it certainly works in that situation. And yeah, if you go to a family party and stuff like that, so that would certainly work as well.
Yep.
I'm still not a fan for myself of having to carry a laptop, an iPad around.
Yeah, right.
Because I'd rather just do it on my phone,
yep.
you know, because it's small, you know, yep. and not have to download them all onto my phone, keep them in the box. But that's, once again, there's lots of really cool ways. Now, a lot of the iPads now, depending on the model you've got and the iOS it's on, you can put a USB key in or external hard drive, and it'll read it as an external drive to the box, so you can to your iPad, so you can certainly dump, but you're still going to go into the iPad first and back out to the hard drive, which is, it can be somewhat slow.
It's nice that Apple eventually added that functionality for you.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, don't take the word functionality. Added that function. Adding ality to a word doesn't make it a better word, ality.
Oh, it does. Absolutely does.
I mean, the first time I ever heard functionality was at a Kodak event. And look what happened to them.
That was the reason for their demise.
Pretty much. They said functionality about 14 times in the same presentation.
David,
we've added these new functionalities to the camera. No, you haven't. You've added some new functions to the camera. Anyway.
David Putzier wrote to us and said, Photo Rec, which we spoke about in the last episode, saved me. Did a shoot, and when I went to pull the images, the card was unreadable. Yep, no, it had been corrupting an image now and then.
Let's go back. The card was unreadable. Yeah, it had been corrupted. No, not yep, it was yeah.
Yeah. It had been corrupting an image now and then, but whatever, what's the worst thing that could happen? I'll keep using it as a spare. Well, I accidentally used it as my primary card on a shoot. Oh, the images showed on the LCD just fine as I shot.
No, they do. They
but
do.
The card totally failed to mount on my PC or even be recognized in my camera back home. I tried all the tricks and numerous recovery programs to no avail. I saw that F-stopper's review and tried PhotoRec. It ran all night but recovered all 500-plus RAW files off the card. So nice little endorsement there for PhotoRec.
Nice save, David.
Thank you, David.
I've got to say, people, if you've got a card that's even glitching with you once in a blue, even if it just does it just
chuck
once,
it.
Just get rid of it.
Chuck it. It's not like they're that expensive these days. And it's one of the reasons why I don't buy large cards.
Yeah.
You know, I have a bunch of 16 and 32 gig cards because I'd much rather just, you know, have to change card every day or, you know, a couple of days or whatever if I'm on holiday than have everything on one 128 gig card and then have that card fail.
Yeah. And, of course, at the same time, if a 16 gig card does fail, it takes less time to recover than
a
128, which is it could run a couple of days.
Yeah.
It's the PhotoRec to go through it all. Yeah.
Yeah. Adam sent us a few stories, and the first one was tourist bad behavior prompts Kyoto's geisha neighborhood to ban photography. I have not had a chance to read this story, but it's a great headline.
Yeah. Great, Adam. Thanks for that. You could, put a few words in there sometimes, tells what it's about, so we don't have to read it.
Yes. I'm interested to know what the disrespectful tourist behaviour has been.
We better open up the bloody thing then.
I have. I'm just quickly scanning the story right now.
What do they say?
Back in 2017, Japan issued an etiquette guide for tourists. One would say that not doing things listed in it is common sense, but apparently for some people, it isn't.
Have you met human beings?
Yeah, exactly. Dear. So, nope. Thanks to one couple's pretty tacky wedding photo, NSFW link. Oh, okay. Right. Yes, that wouldn't have gone down well.
What, in the geisha neighborhood, is it? Yeah. Still a bit of risque stuff going on.
Yeah. So, there you go. Oh, but that was Greece. That wasn't the geisha neighborhood.
It was Grecian.
Yeah. Grecian.
I can't make the link.
Anyway, I haven't really got a clue as to what the...
Adam, what we're looking for, Adam, is a synopsis. two sentences that we can just read without having to actually read the article.
That's right.
Now, yes. From now on, Adam...
We're very busy, Adam.
We're not accepting any more links without a couple of words.
That's right.
Okay.
The next one we should have covered earlier in the podcast when we were talking about Canon's 1DX Mark III. This is Canon imaging profits drop by nearly 60% in Q3 2019. This sounds like Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Sounds like deja vu all over again.
It's Groundhog Day all over again, exactly.
The next one is photographer stole $15,000 worth of gear from his fellow photographer's New York City studio.
Oh.
So I had a quick scan of this story. Basically, there was this studio that a bunch of photographers were all sharing. And this guy, who is apparently a bit of a celebrity photographer by the name of David Holloway, joined this collaborative studio environment that, you know, that bunch of photographers were all sharing, and promptly started booking up slots in the studio here, there, and everywhere, but then not actually showing up to shoot because apparently he just wanted to mess with the other photographers. And then apparently just shot through without saying that he was no longer going to be part of the collaborative environment and didn't pay his rent. And nicked off with $15,000 worth of gear. And from what I gather towards the end of the article, they did eventually get the gear back, but it caused a massive inconvenience because it took them 4 months to get all this gear back from him.
Yeah. And they had to hire gear in the meantime. Yeah. Which cost money to be able to keep functioning. Yeah.
And
the cops got him and he confessed to it all. So
yeah. There was an interesting line down at the bottom that said, high followings and celebrity appearances in the work doesn't automatically mean credibility. And I thought, yeah, that's a
what do you mean?
Fair call. No one's saying it about you, Glenn.
Yeah, no one's saying it about me at all, dude. That's,
And the last one from Adam was, Canon designed a lens that sucks, which is, again, a great... Great heading. This is a lens that is designed to suck air in around the perimeter of the barrel and blow it across the sensor to remove dust from when you've obviously been changing lenses out in the field. Any of us who, you know, do that on a regular basis know that it's just an absolute bane to end up with dust spots on your sensor when you're out in the field and you're then not in a position to do anything about it. You know, most of us have got SLRs or mirrorless cameras that have got, you know, those vibration things, you know, actions within the sensor that'll try and shake the dust loose. But sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes the dust is just electromagnetically stuck to the sensor in too strong a
Photoshop
fashion.
Photoshop action, dude.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, but the thing is, if you're shooting, you know, a whole bunch of images, like I can't tell you the number of times I've gone out and shot like a 15-frame multi-image pano and then I get back and find there's four dust spots on the sensor and it's across 15 frames.
Yeah, but you create an action. You're going to Photoshop.
But maybe you can't do an action for dust.
You can do an action for content-aware removal of this spot. You record the action, the four dots, you remove, create the action, then transfer that action across all 15 of your photos. It's done in seconds flat.
It doesn't always work.
It works enough, dude. It works as well in the scenario you just gave us. It works as well as you going and doing it 15 times yourself.
Oh, I disagree.
Why?
I disagree.
Well, you're wrong.
You're entitled to think that. I'm entitled to think that it doesn't work as well as me doing it manually.
How many times have you done it?
Not recently, but I have in the past.
How many times? I've done it thousands of times.
Oh, I don't know.
That's a lie completely. I never get dust in my photos, so. Yeah, here's the thing.
I think you're just blind.
I had to delete dust from a photo for the first time in about 3 years this week, and that was Sony camera. Again, now, seriously, so this only, I know this is the case. Mirrorless cameras have more of a dust problem than non-mirrorless cameras, right. I'm told.
And well, that makes sense. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's one less barrier or one more. Yeah, one
well, less. Yeah, exactly. So with an SLR, you've generally got the shutter is closed when you take the lens off the body. Yeah. And so the electromagnetic field being generated by the sensor is actually hidden behind the shutter. So it's harder for the dust to get attracted to the sensor, where with a mirrorless, you don't have that shutter sitting in front of the sensor. And so the moment you take the lens off, you know, that electromagnetic force is trying to attract dust. So I'd not heard that, but it doesn't surprise me for that reason.
Yeah, so it's the first time in years I've had dust on my sensors. Yeah, and look, I mean, I shoot a lot at 15 mil.
Yeah.
At F22.
Yeah.
Pointing directly at the sky.
Right.
Okay. So if you're ever going to see dust on your sensor,
yeah,
it's then.
Yep. Yeah.
Really wide, really, really F22,
yep,
and aiming at a bright white, bright blue sky or something. You're going to see dust spots. I never see them. Yeah. And I don't even turn my cameras off when I change lenses, you know. But Sony, bang, straight away. And not just small bits. I mean, it's noticeable. So, I mean, it's big enough piece of dust that you can see it on the screen on the back of the camera.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean that's a decent piece of dust because it's a small screen. Yeah, so yes, yeah, so I know each shot probably had 6-8 specks of dust I had to remove.
Yeah, right.
It's just having had to do that for years. It's terrible. But see, I'm dead set. An action to do that, 90% of the time it's going to work. So if it's an ongoing problem with dust, or you've got a large batch that you didn't realize and you've got it all on there, an action will work. The majority of the images will work out fine. And the few that you say doesn't, you can go and tweak and fix up.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
You're just going to agree to disagree. I can tell that tone in your voice.
So anyway, Canon's designed a lens that sucks.
It sucks. It's like this podcast, really, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so Photoshop's released iPad, Photoshop for iPad from Adobe's come out this week.
Right.
That's good.
This is the full-on version for the iPad Pro only?
I don't know if it's for the Pro only. I haven't actually looked into
that. Okay.
It more likely is, because I reckon for processing power you'd need the Pro.
Yeah.
But it just shows, I mean, I'm at that stage where I'm thinking, yeah, I should replace my Mac. And I'm going, well, maybe I won't. I'll just get an iPad Pro, which is better anyway. And these things, the processing power of these things, so damn good. But we talked about last week that it was going to be coming out. Well, it's out now, which is really good.
I'd be keen to hear from anyone who is going to go down this route. Like, if you're a listener to this podcast, and if you do go down this route where you adopt, the full-blown version of Photoshop on a tablet device, which is, what your iPad is, I'd be interested to know what the user experience is like in terms of trying to interact with, either menus or icons or sliders. How do you find all of that compared with working with a mouse on a desktop machine with a nice big, 28-inch monitor or whatever?
Well, you can use a mouse with your iPad Pro.
Oh, okay.
And you can use a keyboard with your mouse, iPad Pro.
Yep.
So it's like, basically it's like having an iMac, a Mac computer, I should say, a MacBook Pro, but with a removable keyboard, effectively.
Yeah.
And of course, you've got the Apple Pen support, so you can do it all with. It's a bit like using a
Wacom tablet.
A Wacom tablet, yeah. So I'm sure once you got used to it, experience might even be better because you can then. And what I love using, I use my Microsoft Surface to edit sometimes, and I use the pen to paint in light or to paint in contrast or whatever it is.
Yeah,
I might be doing, and that's a much nicer experience than using a mouse or trackpad on your computer or whatever.
But what size is the screen on an iPad Pro?
12.9 inches.
Okay. So that's a lot smaller than most of us are now using for a desktop monitor.
Yeah, but a lot of people use laptops to edit.
Really?
And absolutely. Wow. And 13-inch, I've not used a desktop to edit in 10 years.
Right. Okay.
More.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, I'm always using it. And, of course, if you're traveling or working photographer on the road,
yeah,
you're not taking a desktop with you. No, you're taking a laptop.
True. Yeah.
So a 13-inch laptop is a perfectly usable bit of real estate.
Yep.
And the thing is, you can also, yeah, you can use like an iPad and iPad mini. The iPad mini could be a second screen where you could have all your tools. There's all sorts of way of configuring stuff that would be quite useful on the road too, you know.
Can you actually do that though?
Yeah.
Like run the app on, say, your iPad Pro, but then shift certain elements of the UI over to a second iPad.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
You can float out all any of the panels and you can move that panel over. And
yeah, but I didn't realize that you could share desktop space between a second iOS device.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So Photoshop are coming out with a camera next year, I'm told, too. Photoshop camera.
Right.
For iPhones and Androids, but it's going to have all sorts of state-of-the-art magic of Photoshop in a camera app. They'll have all sorts of stuff coming out, which will be interesting to see what their take on a camera is.
Yeah.
And all the pro photographers are going, oh, I thought Adobe were concerned about professionals. Now they're going for the snap.
Pandering to the Instagram crowd.
the Snapchat filter people. Yeah.
Yep.
So Darktable 3 release is now live?
So they've released Release Candidate 0 at this point in time. That came out 2 days ago. Basically, we're now in a bug-fixing phase between now and Christmas Day. So the new version, like the final stable release of Darktable 3 will come out. I'm not sure if it's Christmas Day or Boxing Day. It's one or the other. And basically that is their target release date for every year. They release it on the same day every year. So what's come out in the last couple of days is Release Candidate 0. It's essentially like beta software. It's got all of the new features in it, but it is anticipated there are going to be bugs. Everybody, you know, put it through its paces. Don't use it as a production level install yet, because, you know, some of those bugs might harm your existing database. So, you know, the idea is install it parallel with your existing 2.6.2 or 2.6.3, whatever you're currently running. And, you know, when you find bugs, report them back up the chain of command, you know, and there are various ways to do that. And then, you know, hopefully they'll squash all of those bugs before Christmas Day, and then we'll have the release version. Yeah.
Hmm. Cool. Yeah. What other crap have I got? Hoya have released, and this surprised me, I have to say, that this hasn't been around years earlier. Released an Astro filter.
Right.
Starscape filter. It cuts out light pollution in your photos.
Okay.
And what surprised me is telescopes have had these type of filters for 30 or 40 years.
Right.
That you could buy. Now, admittedly, they've gone the eyepiece, which is significantly smaller than a lens, but you know, it can't be that much harder to make a bigger bit of glass, you wouldn't have thought.
Yeah.
And they filter out all the horrible browny yellow light
it's
get.
It's meant to reduce the yellow and greenish color cast caused by city lights when you're trying to capture the stars. How cool.
Certain telescopes have had this for years and significantly cut out a lot of light pollution and allow you much better views of the night sky.
Right.
So they've been around at least since the 80s.
Am I right in thinking that it's not so much about reducing the light, but about correcting the color shift? Is that?
Yeah, it's the wavelength. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And apparently, and they say it doesn't affect the ground; it only affects the sky.
Right.
So, yeah, which kind of makes sense because the tonal differences and
most of the time when you're shooting Astro, your ground is just a big black blob anyway.
Oh, no, you have, when was the last time you looked at an Astro shot on Instagram? what you've got is a hiking tent, hiking tent, orange hiking tent lit from inside.
Of course.
And a guy on a bluff with a really bright torch pointing at the Milky Way.
That's right.
That's the last time you saw a sun.
And he's lighting up the Horsehead Nebula with his torch.
Exactly. So, where you've been the last 5 years.
Oh, I'm totally out of touch.
we're too old for this game.
Yeah.
I found this guy's, this little thing says this guy's got an app that you can use on the latest Macs with their latest software, the Catalina software, which still allows you to use Aperture.
Right.
Apple kill
Aperture like 8 years ago?
Oh, at least three, I think. But,
right.
But people loved that program.
Yeah.
My father-in-law loved that program.
Right.
So this guy's got a retro app that allows that and their old Photos app to still work.
Yeah, right.
So if you kind of loved that program and that was where your comfort zone was, that's kind of a decent option. Xiaomi.
Meow
app, that's them, yep.
Yep.
They've announced a 108 megapixel phone.
Wow, the mean Note 10.
I think it's got six lenses, so right. It's twice as Apple straight away.
Yeah.
But it's got a macro, it's got its first dedicated macro lens.
Oh, on a phone. Nice.
Except, okay, so it's a 108 megapixel if you're using the normal lens. It's a full 2 megapixel if you're using the macro.
Right.
So
it's not really macro then.
Well, it's a macro. It's just not a very good quality macro. 2 megapixels.
Okay.
I just found that.
So it's five bizarre. Cameras. Yeah.
Yeah, I just find it's bizarre that it's why is it so big on one end and so little on the other end? It's just 2 megapixel. That's just astounding.
That is bizarre.
Very bizarre. And the last thing I got was the world's first hyperlapse of a solar eclipse from 165,000 feet up.
What?
So it's a hyperlapse of a solar eclipse, and you watch how the shadow plays across the Earth.
Nice.
And it was really good because my youngest daughter bought a book on eclipses the other week.
Okay.
And not a kid's book, it's like a full-on book on eclipses.
Right.
And she's been reading that. And so we've been talking a lot about eclipses. I've been trying to explain how, you know, depending on where you position, whether you see a full eclipse, a partial eclipse, or nothing at all.
Yeah.
And this video shows it perfectly because it shows exactly where the shadow is on the Earth and how it moves across during an eclipse.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool. So, yeah. So
cool. I have to watch that.
Yeah, it only goes for a minute or something, but
lovely.
Very cool indeed.
Awesome.
And that is it. That's all I've got. I've got nothing more. I almost didn't record tonight. I was going to pull out on mental health reasons.
Oh, okay.
But I'm glad I did. I've enjoyed myself.
Excellent.
I'm in a better mood now than when I started.
Good. That's good.
And I thank myself for cheering myself up.
Excellent. Cool.
Awesome.
All right.
What's so what do you got week? On
for, well, actually, I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Just tell me why.
Is
it that weekend of the year for you and the missus?
No.
No. No, that was last weekend. I didn't mention it earlier.
Okay, so you know I've got my mate Dave that I record music with.
Yeah.
20 years ago, we released his first album on the 30th of June 2000. So we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of that album. And over the last 6 weeks or so, I have pulled all of the multi-track recordings that we did 20 years ago back onto my computer and used some software which has allowed me to convert those Adobe Audition session files, that was the app that I used at the time, and turn them into Reaper files, because Reaper is the digital audio workstation I use these days. And I've remixed the whole album, you know, with the benefit of...
For better or worse?
Much better.
Okay.
The benefit of, you know, what I've learned about how to mix a song in the last 20 years has just, you know, chalk and cheese against what I did back then. So it's been a fun process. But in the course of doing all this, we've realized that there was one track from the album that we've lost the backup of.
Oh.
And one other song, we had everything except for the electric guitar part. And so Saturday I've got the guitarist who played on the album coming up to my place, and we're going to re-record his electric guitar part for that song that we're missing the electric guitar part for. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
That sounds good for someone like yourself.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun.
Good. And what are you going to do about the other track?
Well, Dave said, you know, if this goes well, you know, re-recording the electric guitar part, he said maybe we'll try and get all of the guys back together at my place.
You're getting the band back together?
We are.
See, you always wanted to say that.
Yes. And re-record that song. Because we want to do like a bit of a re-release of the album, you know.
It's 20th anniversary edition.
Yeah, it's a 20th anniversary edition, and it's completely remixed, and it sounds a million times better than the original version.
You can do a half-speed recording? I assumed you being an audiophile, you'd know what I meant.
Oh, I do know what you mean.
Oh, good.
But that is only relevant in the world of analog.
I know. Aren't you going to put it out, mate?
As in vinyl?
Yeah.
No. Oh, really? We're not. No. I wish we had enough of a market to warrant doing that. That would be awesome. So, yeah, so anyway, that's what's coming up for my weekend. So I'm looking forward to
that. That sounds excellent. I've got no plans.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, my wife's been away all last week and all this week.
Oh.
So it's like I haven't been able to get out and do anything with any, you know, I want to get and do some night shooting for Sony, but I haven't been able to because I've been with the kids. And
yep.
So next week we'll hopefully free up. I'll get out and do a bit more shooting and maybe get some sunrise shots and if anything happens, and there's a couple of nighttime shoots around Melbourne. But then I'm hopefully done with this project once and for all.
Yeah, right. Cool. Hey. Oh, we'll have fun with that.
I'll try.
Excellent.
All right,
mate, we'll talk with you next week.
It's been lovely for you listening to us.
Excellent. See ya.
Bye.
Shutters Inc. Another audio2.com quality podcast. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.